Today, Bible verses is on Hebrew chapter 3, verse 7 to 14, on page 847. Page 847. Excuse me. Page 847, Hebrew chapter 3, verse 7. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. May God bless his words.
Good morning. Oh, whoa.
Did not expect that.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is,
Yes. How was anyone have a spectacular week in any way? Peter did. I know that. Yeah. 21. I was trying to, you know, Peter likes to bug me about how I'm a decade older than him. And so what I did was to neutralize that, I said, well, you know what, when I'm 91, you'll be 81. And then it won't matter. But it seems kind of a weak reply, but it works. I had a pretty good week, I think. It's kind of depressing for any Edmonton Oilers fan, which is a NHL ice hockey team, the team I cheer for. 25 years ago, just 25 years ago from this month, Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player who ever lived, and that's not hyperbole, he just was traded from my team down into the States, to the LA Kings, which radically changed NHL hockey. The reason why it's so big, why salaries are so ridiculous now, I mean, you can make millions and millions playing ice hockey. The poorest, crappiest NHL hockey player in the NHL will make more in a normal salary than your best paid All Black. So it salaries have gone crazy. It's because Wayne Gretzky went to the States. Anyways, it's a big trade, and it's been all over all the sports news. And it's really depressing because as a young kid, seeing the star of my hockey team disappear, it broke my heart. And he actually announced it right behind my house. I'm not even kidding, because I lived in this kind of inner city community, and right behind me was a Molson brewery where they make beer. So I always smelled beer growing up. And he announced it they had this special thing there that looks cool, and he announced it at that brewery. So right behind my house. That was kind of depressing, but to the smell of beer. Okay. Let's open it in prayer, and we can get into our message. Lord God, I thank you for today, and I pray that you would bless this message, that it would be encouraging, and that you would guide it in every way. In your most heavenly name we pray, amen. So this isn't a Hollywood sermon, but there's a lot of Hollywood in it, because the beauty about Hollywood is its ability to encourage us. And so I just want to sort of set the stage for our sermon today with an opening montage. So let's start the first day.
We will fight! No! We will run! And we will live!
Shame on you!
This could be the greatest night of our lives. But you're gonna let it be the worst.
And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you.
Well, I'm not going home.
Got too far!
And I'm gonna stay right here and fight for this lost cause.
A day may come
when the courage of men fails. But it is not this day.
The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
You're going to work harder than you ever worked before.
But that's fine. We'll just get tougher with it.
If a person grits his teeth and shows real determination,
failure is not an option.
That's how winning is done.
Believe me when I say
we can break this army here
and win just one for the Gipper.
But I say to you, what every warrior has known since the beginning of time,
you've got to get mad.
I mean plumb mad dog mean.
If you would be free men, then you must
fight to fulfill that promise. Let us
cut out their living guts
1 inch at a time.
And they will know what we can do.
Let no man forget how menacing we are. We are lions.
You're like a big bear, man.
This is your time.
Seize the day.
Never surrender.
Victory or death.
Patch the Chicago.
Who's with me?
Clap. Clap. Don't let him die. Clap.
All right. Let's fly.
And gentlemen in England now abed shall know
my name is the Lord.
When I tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
our Independence Day.
Very inspiring. Right. So, you know, our world is often filled with stress and trials, right? On some days, it can be very discouraging. Things can really hit us hard, right? They may drag us down physically, emotionally. There's all sorts of things that can cause us to just get angry. And as discouragement builds in our lives, we have this natural desire to build up defensive walls to protect ourselves from being hurt by a hurtful world. I mean, if we get hurt by things, I mean, I see it all the time as a pastor. Maybe someone gets hurt at church. Maybe someone gets hurt at work. Maybe someone gets hurt by their friends. And they start to get bitter. They start to get angry. They start to build these defensive walls. And unfortunately, these defenses can lead towards an increasing kind of self-centeredness, frustration, and even unbelief against God. And the biblical author of Hebrews, the Hebrew letter, the sermon, understood this behavior pattern very well. Because right in chapter 3, the author describes how the Israelites wandered away from God during their 40-year journey in the desert wilderness. And God had powerfully just rescued them from Egypt, right? But the Israelites allowed the hardships, the tough days, the agonizing journey, and disappointments in the wilderness to come between them and God. And the author uses this tragic story to speak a word of warning about something very important and urgent: the need for encouragement. The author makes it very clear that the situation is serious enough where encouragement must be a priority of every day of our lives. We must always, as Christians, we must always look to give and receive encouragement. This way, you know, we work against the constant push of discouragement and disappointment that exists in our life. I mean, you're going to get bad things happen all the time. But the beauty about the Christian message, about the Christian gospel of the kingdom of God, is that it is, in one of its cores, is a message of encouragement. Now, when Scripture talks about encouragement, it's not just talking about simple compliments or minor gift giving. And Scripture speaks, I think, of about four different angles of how encouragement can be shown. And so we're going to go through those four ways, and I'm going to show a clip from a movie to demonstrate each one. And so the first one we're going to look at is affirmation. And what's affirmation? Affirmation is encouragement that can occur, that occurs, when people express belief and support in one another. And so we'll watch this first clip, second clip. It takes place in the movie Miracle, which is about how the Americans in 1980 in the Olympics were against the Soviet Union for the gold medal, and it's a very powerful movie. It's a Cold War movie. It's very interesting. Anyways, this is that classic coach speech you get right before the last period.
Great moments are born from great opportunity. And that's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. One game. If we played them 10 times, they might win 9. But not this game. Not tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them. And we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. You were born to be hockey players. Every one of you. And you were meant to be here tonight. This is your time. Their time is done. It's over. I'm sick and tired of hearing about what a great hockey team the Soviets have. This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
You were all born to be hockey players. You know, I believe in this church. I think this is an amazing church, and we have done some amazing things. I mean, one thing is this church is 90 years old. It's even older. It's over a century old if you count the time when it was just a mission and just a bunch of Christians coming together. That's an amazing thing, especially when you consider, when you look at all the other churches that exist in New Zealand that are 90 years old. Most of them are dead, sold, aging, very few people, very few families, and yet there's this church, 90 years old, still going strong. It's a miracle. It's amazing that God has worked in this church for practically a century, and that is inspiring. Since I've been here, this church has done quite a few cool things. I mean, we've had people go to Cambodia, we've had people go to East Timor, we've had people who want to go to East Timor, doing great works there. We've had people go out into the community to help those with their gardening and things like this. We support a food bank, which is a very good thing to do. We also, we supported a team that came from Cambodia to dance and bring joy to the people of this area, and that was really encouraging. I've seen individuals help in absolutely generous ways. Other people in the community, other people in this church, people who have had hardships, financial difficulties, all sorts of things. People I've seen in this church have gone out of their way to support each other. It's amazing. It's encouraging. People have become Christians here in the time that I've been here. It's, you know, we're bringing in another pastor. We have Reverend Tang. That is encouraging. I mean, this church is doing amazing, glorious, wonderful things for the kingdom of God right here in the Auckland CBD. And you're all a part of that. You know, we're all cogs in this wheel. And that's amazing. I love it. You know, that's why I love being here. And so one way that we as Christians need to encourage each other is through affirmation, to affirm the good things that we see. So when we, our fellow man, our fellow person beside us, the people you know, constantly be affirming what they're doing, encouraging them, giving them, pointing out what you think is awesome in what they're doing. And that is a key aspect in building up the faith of those around us. And that's something I think the Hebrew author wants us to understand when he's talking about encouragement. A second type of encouragement is testimony. You know, Encouragement can come from in the form of stories that uplift others and demonstrate the awesome love and power of God. And so the next clip we're going to have is from Amistad, which is based on the true story about the there was a African slave trade boat, and there's a revolt on the boat by the slaves, and they kill their masters. That's a happy scene. And then they land in America, but there's no slave master, so no one owns the slaves, right? And so then the question becomes, what do we do with the slaves, or with the black people, because they're not owned by anyone, and they're technically, they landed on the land free, because no one's in control of them. So what do we do with them? And that's what the movie is about. And this is a scene from that movie where Morgan Freeman is a black slave who was freed, who is fighting for the freedom of slaves. And Anthony Hopkins plays the former president, John Quincy Adams, who's now who works in the House of Representatives. So that's the setup for this clip.
Now you know.
Yes. Sir.
Yeah?
Mr. President, if it was you handling the case.
But it isn't me. Thank God for that.
But if it was, sir, what would you do?
Well, when I was an attorney a long time ago, young man, I realized after much trial and error that in a courtroom, whoever tells the best story wins. In unlawyer-like fashion, I give you that scrap of wisdom free of charge.
Much obliged for your time, sir.
What is their story, by the way? What is their story?
Why, they're, from West Africa?
No. What is their story? Mr. Jolson, you're from where originally?
Georgia, sir.
Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Does that pretty much sum up what you are? A Georgian? Is that your story? No. You're an ex-slave who's devoted his life to the abolition of slavery and overcoming great obstacles and hardships along the way, I should imagine. That's your story, isn't it? You and this young so-called lawyer have proven you know what they are. They're Africans. Congratulations. What you don't know, and as far as I can tell, haven't bothered in the least to discover, is who they are. Right?
You know, this, we aren't just people here. We're not just persons. And we're not just Chinese people or not Chinese people. You know, there are awesome stories here. There are awesome, I mean, the beauty of being a pastor is I get to meet with people. It's funny because often I'll ask people to meet for coffee and they'll be like, uh-oh, am I in trouble? Did I do something wrong? Am I... And no, I just like meeting with coffee with people so that I can get to know them better, get to know their stories, get to know who they are, get to know, I'm not here to find out what evil things you do in the privacy of I'm here to get to know the people of the church, because the stories here are inspiring. There's awesome stories. I encourage all of you to, if there's someone you don't know here, get to know them, get to find out, how did you even get here? I remember, you know, when several months ago, I asked people raise their hands to various questions, like, you know, how many people were born here, and how many people were born were from Christian families, and how many people became Christians when they were older, and how many had university, and all these different questions. Everyone were putting up their hands for all the sort of different things, and a lot of people were surprised that so many people had such different and eclectic backgrounds. And a lot of us have these stories that are encouraging, and we can learn from each other. I mean, just yesterday, I mean, the absolute generosity of the Tings to invite so many people for a buffet dinner to celebrate Peter's 21st birthday. I mean, what awesome story, I mean, of God's working in their lives would create that generosity. I mean, there's so many great stories here, and I've been touched in so many ways by the people here who have done awesome things in my life. And had a testimony of affirmation and a testimony of just their story and all that sort of stuff. It's amazing. And I just encourage us as Christians, as a people of a fellow church, that we would learn more about each other, learn the testimonies that we have, learn the things that are happening. It's always encouraging when someone comes up here and tells their story. I mean, a few weeks ago we had Jenny come up and give a story about her testimony of how she came to faith. And I found that incredibly encouraging and uplifting. And so testimony is a big part of how we can encourage each other. And so not only do we want to affirm each other, we want to explain our stories, where we come from and who we are. And then a third type of encouragement that can be done, that I think the author of Hebrews has in mind, is encouragement may be a wise word or a serious reminder given in love to help another. And the scene you're going to see is from my favorite movie. I mean, I don't think it's not objectively the best movie, and so I don't expect if people were to watch it, they would think it was their favorite movie. But for me, it is, for whatever reason. It just hits all the right notes for me. And I've watched it since I was a little child. It's a scene from Rudy, and it's a scene where Rudy hasn't made the team, hasn't made the football team of Notre Dame, and he's thinking, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit. I'm going to give up. And the janitor comes and has a little talking to Rudy, so we're going to watch that.
Hey! What you doing here? Don't you have practice?
Not anymore. I quit.
Oh. Well, since when are you the quitting kind?
I don't know. I just don't see the point anymore.
So you didn't make the dress list. There are greater tragedies in the world.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad. To prove to everyone
prove
that I worked...
what?
That I was somebody.
Oh, you are so full of crap. You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing, and you got hardly a speck of athletic ability. And you hung in with the best college football team in the land for 2 years. And you're also going to walk out of here with a degree from the University of Notre Dame. In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself. And after what you've gone through, if you haven't done that by now, it ain't gonna never happen. Now go on back.
Sorry I never got you to see your first game with you.
Hell, I've seen too many games in this stadium.
I thought you said you never saw a game.
I've never seen a game from the stands.
You were a player?
I rode the bench for 2 years. Thought I wasn't being played because of my color. I got filled up with a lot of attitude. So I quit. Still not a week goes by, I don't regret it. And I guarantee a week won't go by in your life. You won't regret walking out, letting them get the best of you. You hear me clear enough?
know, there's a lot of wisdom in this church, and I've had my share of moments like this where I didn't know what I was doing, or I did something dumb, or what have you, and I had someone come and tell me, you know, here's some wise wisdom from someone who has a few more years on you. My personal favorite person who does this is Marty. Because what's brilliant about Marty is that he can be as eviscerating as anyone, but he makes you feel like he's your best friend. And you know why you feel like that? Because he truly acts like he is your best friend. I mean, he's a wonderful person who has a genuine care for people, and he honestly seeks to see the best in people. And so I'm never, you know, sometimes you can get a scolding or what have you, and you feel kind of junky, but never with Marty, and never with actually a lot of people here. There's a lot of wisdom here, and there's a lot of things that we can learn from each other. And I haven't just learned from people older than me. I've learned things from people younger than me, from the tertiary group. You know, I've learned tons. From my children, I've learned, since I've learned, you know, particularly how selfish sometimes I can be. But, you know, and so what's beautiful about churches is it's a place that you can come and that you can, people who follow Christ, who have a genuine love for Christ and a genuine love for people, there's people here you can come to and get good counsel from and be encouraged in that way and be set on a path that is better. You know, Nathan is a big inspiration to a lot of people here, like especially the children. You saw all the children were like, yeah, Nathan! They all love Nathan, right? Because they get good counsel from Nathan. And I can't think of a better person to be involved in this New Zealand Chinese thing than Nathan Chan. I mean, there's so many wonderful people here who can give good counsel, and it's encouraging. And we should, as Christians, as a church, we should take advantage of that. And then the final type of encouragement we can get is hope. Encouragement that, you know, flows from the scriptures, you know, as they point to the ultimate hope, the Lord Jesus. And the next scene we're going to see is this scene from the movie Amistad again. And someone gave the slaves a Bible. Now, they can't read, but this Bible has a lot of pictures in it. And this guy is trying to explain to his buddy, you know, I think this is what the story is that's trying to be communicated in this message. And so we'll just see this scene now.
Okay. nakubiphi ye tingiwa lofa lilongo bito se atingiwa
nyamba tena aki
tole yakboyele tingiwa me boyelo Boy Jima. Tiliangi. Oui. Tu ben be kule hun si amo api. Tatoa e ha. Ke. Boy lo. Kununga ayama. Ti epe. Ke ilenga gile ego hun. Mimia, Pia Fea Lina, Jibaha, Timua, Nyamunyo.
That scene. The ultimate type of encouragement that this church gives me is this church has a message of hope. You know, we believe Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and he brings hope not only in this life but the life to come. And amazing things are happening in this church, and this church is a very encouraging church. To me, and you know, I miss Canada very much. I miss Canada every single day for various different reasons. But there's no place I would rather be right now than right here, because of the encouragement, because of the joy, because of just the awesome things that are going on in this church. And I've been in some other churches, and this is an amazing church. You know, and the true power of encouragement is found within the word of warning right here in Hebrews 3. You know, as we give more and more encouragement to one another, we are strengthening ourselves so that we are able to endure things when disappointments or setbacks happen. Because they do. They happen all the time. They even happen in church. But we lower our chances of falling into a state of selfishness or unfaithfulness in response to the negativity all around us when we are encouragers. Encouragement becomes even more powerful when it's shared in a good, healthy relationship. And an encouraging word from a stranger is great, but an encouragement from a person we are in relationship with can make a deep and wonderful impact on our lives. And so I just hope and pray that we as a church body, that we would continue to be encouraging to one another, that we would continue to affirm one another, that we would continue to share our testimonies, our stories with one another, that we would continue to counsel each other to grow in the faith, and to continue to give the hope that we have in Jesus Christ to all those around us. And I think that's what the author of Hebrews really is trying to remind us of. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for the encouragement and the hope that you give us in your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. I thank you for the 90 years of blessing that you've poured upon this church, and I pray that you give us 90 more years. And I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to be a pastor here, and I pray that you continue to work your mighty hand here at ACPC, and that we would be a light shining on a hill here in the CBD of Auckland. Thank you for your grace again in your Son, Jesus Christ. In his heavenly name we pray. Amen.